We're going to read from God's Word, and that can be found in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. It's entitled, The Faith of the Syrophoenician Woman. That's page 1010. This is the Word of God. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat what they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed. The demon was gone. Amen. And may the Lord bless and challenge us with the reading of his word. As with so many of the people who Jesus interacted with, we don't even know her name. We do know that she was a desperate woman, a Greek-speaking Gentile. She had heard about Jesus and that he could cast out demons. Her little daughter suffered from demon possession. She had heard that he was in the area, which was surprising to her because Jews, and especially their teachers, didn't really come to her town. So she looked for and she found Jesus, like the others we have read of in the book of Mark. She was at her wit's end. She couldn't help her baby girl. She didn't know what else to do, but she believed that Jesus could help her. So she fell at Jesus' feet in desperation, begging this Jewish teacher, who was known for his compassion and his willingness to heal, to cast the demon out of her little girl. Imagine the scene, picture it. This poor woman lying face down in front of Jesus in a pool of tears below her. And Jesus said in verse 27, first, let the little children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. What? What? Jesus just called her and her little girl dogs. He wasn't going to heal her. How could Jesus say such a scandalous statement? What Jesus said would be the equivalent to us in Northern Ireland at the height of the Troubles, or even now, saying something like this. First, let the wee Protestant kids have all they want, for it is not right to take their food and toss it to the Catholic dogs. A scandalous and an unacceptable statement. What was going on here? Why did a loving and compassionate Jesus, who healed all types of people, say this? Remember that the disciples were with Jesus. And basically everything Jesus did, everything Jesus said was there to teach them. Jesus was teaching his disciples. And as Jesus' disciples now, us, that there should be no barrier between the people of God and the rest of the world. And as we all know, the Jews and the Gentiles, they didn't mix. When he was on earth, Jesus challenged the people's view of society. He had dinner with sinners, with tax collectors. He touched lepers. He called very ordinary people to follow him. He broke down man-made barriers. Then, as we saw last week, he radically challenged their rules about what was clean and what was unclean. This was a radical wake-up call to the people to get over their crazy traditions that society had made up, rules and regulations, barriers that were actively stopping them from worshiping and living as God's people. And this morning, in this text, we see that Jesus takes the radical and the barrier-breaking to the next level. He went to the Gentiles. An unclean people. The Jews genuinely believed that contact with the Gentiles would make them unclean. The barrier between these two nations was massive. Israel had forgotten that as well as being chosen by God and blessed by God, they were also to be a source of blessing to the nations. They had built a wall, a barrier around themselves. And they genuinely thought that they were special, that they were better than everyone else. And this could be seen in how they treated other nations, the fact they never tried to bless the other nations or even call them to follow God. Could the same be said of the church today, the church now? The challenge for us as a church today is to ensure that we haven't and that we don't build barriers that stop us reaching out to the world, blessing them with the love of Jesus and bringing his good news. Jesus was teaching that there can't be a barrier between the people of God and the rest of the world. We know at the end of his life what Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." He said, "And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." No barriers. But as Israel did, and as we can so easily do as a church, it is easy to build barriers that stop us reaching out to the rest of the world. But Jesus was in the business of breaking down those man-made barriers. So what barriers do we need to break down? Well, the big thing I think we can take from this passage is that Jesus challenges his disciples to remove the barrier of bigotry towards others. Get back to the story. What would have been the reaction of the disciples when they heard this statement of Jesus? Was it disgust? I doubt it. It is probable that they would have agreed with it. After all, in that society, women were looked down on. In public, men wouldn't talk to women. They wouldn't even talk to their wives. And for a Gentile woman to approach a Jewish teacher like Jesus, well, that just was not on, simply not a thing to be done. And with Jesus' use of what was probably a Jewish phrase that was derogatory towards Gentiles, the disciples probably nodded their heads at Jesus' words. Jesus deliberately said this provocative statement, calling the Gentiles dogs, and that they should wait until Israel had been served to shame his disciples for their bigoted and prejudiced attitude towards Gentiles, challenging them about their own bigotry and the practical outworking of it. Because next, we see this amazing response of this broken woman. Verse 28, she said, "Yes, Lord." She humbly accepted her place as a Gentile, not being the first to receive God's mercy. But then she counters Jesus' statement by saying, "But even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." This was an amazing statement of faith in the power and the work of Jesus. That even though Jesus had come primarily at that time to Israel, that even the crumbs that fell from their table could heal her daughter. Even the crumbs had the power to save. She understood the scope of Jesus' mission on earth. And because of her belief in the power and the work of Jesus, Jesus said to her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She got it. That Jesus had come for all. And maybe the disciples didn't yet, as they wanted a Savior, but they wanted a Savior for Israel. Their bigotry was a barrier to them reaching out to the Gentiles. The practical outworking of the disciples' bigotry was to ignore the need of this Gentile woman and her daughter. I can imagine Jesus looking at the woman and then looking at the disciples and saying, "Really, guys? Really? Can't you see the need here? Where is your compassion?" Her belief in Jesus and his work and power put the disciples to shame. You see, bigotry, feeling that you are better than someone else, leads to being blind to their need, the needs of the world and their need for the power of Jesus and his ministry and his mission. And here Jesus also challenges his disciples to remove the barrier of blindness to the need that is out there. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Jesus came and he broke down the barriers between the people of God and the Gentiles and the rest of the world. It is so vital for us as a church to carefully and honestly face up to our own personal barriers of bigotry and realize that it can make us blind to the needs of the world around us. The world needs Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus broke the barrier between us and God, that through the cross we could know God, we could know heaven and not hell. So we should never build barriers that stop us telling the world about him. If we have truly, truly encountered Jesus, then our desire, our deepest desire should be to help others to also encounter Jesus and not build barriers. But let's think about Northern Ireland for a moment. Do we live in a divided society? It's a picture from a couple of years ago, but it's not an unusual picture. Think about yourself. Think about myself. Ourselves. Are there people in society who we don't talk to or even really want to associate with? Are we willing to admit our own bigoted views? Have we created barriers that are stopping us reaching out to our neighbors, reaching out to those of other religions, to foreign nationals, people from tough estates, reaching out to addicts, or to those scary-looking teenagers who you see walking around the town aimlessly? They scare me. It's maybe one of my prejudices. But that's just to name a few. If we are honest with ourselves, who do we look down on? And is that actually stopping us seeing their need? You know, Israel, quite happily, kept the good news of God to themselves. They kept it in Israel. Is the church happy keeping the good news of Jesus to ourselves, safe behind the walls of our church, behind our wee man-made barriers? Has this led us to become blind to the needs of the people outside our walls and their need of Jesus? Honestly, if we are not reaching out to them, then there is a barrier. And the challenging answer must be yes, we are blind to them. And as hard as it is to say and to accept, it is because of our own prejudice against others who are different to us. Peter said, "For Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God." There can't be barriers between the people of God and the rest of the world. Jesus died for all. Jesus challenges his disciples to break down the barriers and to believe, to truly believe in the mission of Jesus. The next two stories in the book of Mark are about Jesus' mission to the Gentiles, and they show the wonder of Jesus' barrier-free ministry. We have the healing of the deaf and dumb man. And the Gentile people said this about Jesus: "He has done everything well." In fact, Matthew's recording, we read that they said, "And they praised the God of Israel." How amazing was that? These Gentiles were praising the God of Israel because of the mission of Jesus. Gentiles saw that Jesus was good and praised God. This was amazing. Then, go on to chapter 8. What do we see? We see that Jesus said these words: "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." And we read on, we see that Jesus miraculously fed over 4,000 people, Gentiles. As we have seen, and as we know, Jesus' mission at the very start in Mark, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that the world would see that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah, bringing salvation to the world. Jesus' ministry, Jesus' mission is exciting. It is eternally worthwhile. As his disciples, we are to be involved in his mission. To truly believe in the mission of Jesus is to be involved as his witnesses to the world. You might know it already, but I love this church. I think it's a brilliant church. There's so many good things happening on it, so many good people. And this church, some of the most exciting ministries are the ministries that are involving this whole thing of breaking down barriers. Look at Hope House. The church actually has a presence in the estate. Do you know how few churches do that? It is being a beacon of hope, bringing the good news of Jesus to what is quite a tough estate. Reaching out, breaking down barriers. But you know what I have heard in this church? I have heard people speaking against Hope House, saying, why are we going into Hope House? What do we need to go into this estate for? And I think, really? Really? People need the compassion of Jesus, and we need to reach out to break down barriers and get in there. It's amazing ministry. What about the language classes? I speak to Mary Hamilton sometime about them. The joy that she has when she talks about them is brilliant. Or you talk to Bill Shields as he tells you about how he tries to get these guys involved in things. He's got a heart for it. Or Norma Harper, who has started a Bible study with some of them. These are people who many in our society shun. Who many in our society say, "What, come here taking our jobs?" They are human beings who need the compassion and the love of Jesus. We are called to break down barriers and go to them. Mums and tots. Love mums and tots. I never got to take Abigail to it, but anyway. But so many people come along to that who have got nothing to do with church. Different ethnic origins. Protestant, Catholic. People who have, from all places, they come along. They don't know the Lord. But we can get to know them. We can break down barriers there. And we can introduce them to the compassion and the love of Jesus. These are ministries that break down barriers. Keith has already said about Cafe Church and the barriers that are being broken down there. What about Trevor McGee, who helps out with the prison fellowship? How many of us are bigoted towards people who've been in prison and wouldn't maybe want to talk to them? Breaking down barriers. Again, Keith, when he worked in Thompson House with ex-offenders, they need the compassion of Jesus. We need to break down barriers and go to them. Or what about Colin Jenkins, who goes onto the boats to the sailors and just shares the love of Jesus? No barriers, just the ministry, the mission of Jesus. I was talking this morning to Brian and Heller Kennedy, and they were telling me they were out on the streets with healing on the streets yesterday morning, and a person came to faith, breaking down barriers. Let us not be like Israel and forget that we are to be a source of blessing to the nations. My prayer is that Jesus, as Jesus looks down on us, that he is not saying, "Really? Really? Can't you see the need here? Where is your compassion?" As we break down the barriers that stop us serving Jesus' mission, the benefit to our community will be immeasurable. As we do this, the benefit to the disciples serving will be immeasurable as they actively share the love of Jesus and lead them to the hope of Jesus Christ. Let us ensure that we do not allow barriers of bigotry towards people who are different to us, and the blindness that that brings to their needs, stop us reaching out to the world with the good news of Jesus. Let us believe in that mission of Jesus and be actively involved in it as Jesus' active disciples and witnesses, bringing glory to God and good to the world. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise you for Jesus and for the difference that he makes to our lives. Lord, in the silence now, we ask that you will challenge us through the power of your Holy Spirit with some of the barriers that we have put up that need to be destroyed in our lives so that we will reach out for you. Lord, help us to be your disciples, making disciples in this world for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.